It is wonderful to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us, as was mentioned before, you are special to us and we appreciate you. If you've tuned in online, thank you very much as well. It is great, again, to be here with you. It is great to be able to sing together, to pray together, to commune together, to fellowship one with another. And now, as we have entered into a time when we're going to study, we're going to challenge ourselves. My prayer is that this lesson, along with the next few weeks, will allow us an opportunity that we will fill the opportunity, we will step up to the opportunity to be dedicated, to be more what God wants us to be. You know, last week we talked about being empty, the tomb being empty. And that was a good thing. But I also mentioned at the beginning of that sermon several things, and there are others, of course, that if things are empty, it's not always good. And so today I want to talk with you about you being empty, about me being empty. And I'm going to talk with you today about something that is very vital to all of us. My goal over today and the next few weeks is to revive us, to recharge us, to re-energize our spiritual walks. When I tell you certain things in my life, I hope you know I always try to share things that will help you, things that maybe I've messed up with, or things that I have tried to do well and could have done better. But I told our Bible class this morning that I haven't always been someone, and I'm talking now over my walk through Christianity, my walk in Christianity, became a Christian at 16 years old, and I haven't always been someone who studied my Bible every day. And I am not proud to tell you that, but I'm guessing I'm not alone in this room. But some time ago, I made the decision that no matter what, I was going to be in my Bible every day. You know what happened? Through that time, I have found myself being a better husband, being a better father, being a better, hopefully, minister, elder in the church, and Christian and human being in general. Not every day do you really get up and just say, hey, today's the day I'm going to read my Bible. But the more I do it, the more I want to be in it. My prayer to about this lesson is that at the end of the day, you will feel that same way. That you will have the desire in your heart to be in the Bible every day. There have been times in my past, in my preaching past, that I have preached on the importance of the Bible. There have been times in my preaching past when I've taught a lot more classes about it. But it's been a while since I've just preached a sermon about the importance of studying our Bibles. But if we're going to revive, refuel, re-energize ourselves, we must start with the book that God wrote. We must be a people that are in the book every single day. I would never ask anyone to embarrass themselves. I would never ask you to show your hands of who studies it every day. But I do want you to ask yourself, do you study your Bible daily? If the answer to that question is yes, I'm very proud to know that you do that. I'm very proud of you. God is very proud of you. But if that answer is no, then I want you to tune in and listen, especially as we go through this. This is a very practical lesson. It's very to the point. It's very easily understood. It can be understood by those who are able to, that are the youngest among us that can understand, all the way up to the oldest among us. But today, my goal, Again, I've got to stand in judgment for the challenges and teachings I lay out. My goal is to challenge us to be a church that's in the book every day more and more. Okay, if we can do that, you know what's going to happen? Just like with me. It's going to change you. But it's going to change your marriage. It's going to change your parenting, your grandparenting. It's going to change your being a good neighbor. It's going to change this church family. If we will be a people that are in the book every day. There was some time ago that Justin and I challenged the church and we had a jar. And we said we were going to read scriptures. We're going to put in that jar. I think some of you all did a great job of that, but I think it's safe to say that jar didn't overflow. And, you know, we could get up here and we could paint it any way we wanted, and I could paint it positive. Hey, man, look at the people that read. But at the end of the day, until we're all put, and I'm not saying we're going to bring that back or anything like that, but my point of it is, I've got to put in my time in the Word. You've got to put in your time in the Word. Do you expect the elders of this church to study their Bibles? You should. You should. You should expect us to be in the Word daily. But we as an eldership expect this congregation to. Why? Because God expects us to. The Bible can help us through challenging times. Think about it. It can help those who are lonely, those who are filled with heartache, those who are empty, those who are struggling with anxiety, those who are battling depression, self-doubt, and many other problems. If we are not studying the Bible every day, if we're not in the habit of devoting ourselves, just like the apostles the early church did to the apostles' doctrine, if we are not steadfastly devoting ourselves to the Word of God, the following has to be true. It has to be true. First of all, if we're not doing it every day, we must believe our bodies are more important than our souls. We eat every day. That's something we do every day. If I'm not studying my Bible every day, I must believe that my body is more important than my soul. Or I believe that material is more important than the spiritual. Maybe I just believe I can do it on my own. Or maybe I believe that God's words are not that big of a deal. Now listen, that's pretty extreme. Those things I just said are pretty harsh. And you might be thinking, no, I don't study my Bible every day, but I don't believe any of those things. Well, then why aren't you in the Bible every day? What's your excuse? What's my excuse? Today, I'm going to give it my all to do what the author of this psalm did 2,700 years ago. Psalm 119. You know what's significant about Psalm 119? Who knows what's significant about it? Say it. It's in the middle. It's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. It is almost in the middle of the Bible. You're exactly right. Psalm 119 is 176 verses long. The longest chapter in the entire Bible. If you are reading through the Bible app, meaning that you're reading and it's reading it to you, it is the longest one to get through in the entire Bible. Depending on your speed, it could be 12 to 14 minutes to get through. But listen, you know what all 176 of those verses is about? Loving the words of God. 176 verses, 2,700 years ago, author unknown, written to tell us you must love the words that God speaks. Today, we need to be fired up so that we can fill up our spiritual tanks every day with God's words. Today's points are very simple, but they are very practical, and they are all found in Psalm 119. Number one this morning, if I am going to have a newfound look on the Bible, if I'm going to move forward in life, if I'm going to move forward spiritually, I must fall in love with the book. But in order to do that, I must look to the Bible. The Bible, just like any book, is useless to me, and it is useless to you if we do not look at it, we do not open it, and we do not study it. Verse 18 of Psalm 119, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Now remember, they were under the old law back then. Today, if that was written, it would be, "Open my eyes so that I may see wondrous things from the Bible, from your book, from the Word of God." Think about this. More Bibles exist today than ever. More copies of God's Word. Now, that could be a physical copy. That could be a digital copy. But more copies of God's Word exist today than ever in the existence of the world. You thought about that? There's more access to it than ever. There are more Bibles in more homes. There are more Bibles in more hands than we have ever had before in the existence of the world. Yet, we have less Bible in less hearts than probably ever before in the existence of the world, save the very beginning when all of man's heart was evil. Think about that. We've got more Bibles, more copies, in more hands, in more homes, but every day it's getting in less and less hearts. I love God. I love the Bible, so many people are saying. You have a conversation with somebody. They can quote a word or two here or a word or two there. Maybe that's you. Maybe you can say, "Hey, I love the Bible. I love God." But there are so many people who are starving spiritually. Verse 18, when he talks about going back, if you look at the verse and he says, "wondrous things from your law," the same process or the same thought process there is from the Hebrew word that is talking about precious treasure chests full of jewels. Those wondrous things, that's a treasure chest full of jewels. That's the same Hebrew definition and thought process going into that. The Bible is a treasure chest. It's a treasure chest full of jewels for our lives. But it's waiting to be opened. If you found a treasure chest today, and it was full of gold and full of precious jewels, and you took it back to your home and you buried it in the ground, is it going to do you any good? No. You're still going to be just as broke because you didn't spend it. You didn't invest it. You didn't pay off your house. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. You just buried it in the ground. We can have all the Bibles and we can have all the iPads and we can have all the phones and we can have all the things, but it does us no good if we don't look and open our eyes. There was a time when Israel was in a theocracy. What is a theocracy? It means they didn't need a king. The king of their lives was God. Israel was founded on a theocracy. But after some time, guess what? They wanted to be like the other nations. What did the other nations have that they didn't have? They had a king. A physical king that sat on a throne that ruled over them. God told them, you don't need a king. He even tried to buy time with them with judges. But they kept demanding it. He knew it was going to be a disaster. And so he said, okay, even though you're really saying I'm not good enough for you, I'm going to give you a king. Before he gave them that king, though, he wanted to make sure that king and every king did something. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, we're going to read together verses 18 through 20. This is the God of Israel, the God of the universe, the God of the church, the God of our lives, Lord of all lords, okay? He told him, you didn't need a king, but you want one? It's going to end in disaster. I'll give you one. But this is what the king should do. If you're going to spare any of this, listen to these words. Deuteronomy 17, beginning in 18. Also it shall be, when he, that's the king, sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Did you get all that? Before he sits on the throne, God said, I want him to take the law. Okay? Take the law. And I want him to not get a scribe, not get anyone else, but himself write it down. Write a copy of it for himself. And then I want him to have that on his person at all times. And I want him to be in that book every single day. And that was for the king. If God expected the king of his people to do that, don't you think he wants us just to read it every day? When we open the Bible and we open our eyes, amazing things can and will happen for us. Yes, we must look to the Bible, but that's not enough. Secondly, we must learn from the Bible. When we quit learning, we quit living. Have you heard the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? That's why the dog's old. Because he quit learning. We quit teaching him. It's the same with us. We quit learning, we may as well quit living. We're just going to lie there, think we got it all figured out, and die miserable. You see, there's always something we can learn. Think about this. When we graduated high school, had we learned everything? Maybe we thought we did. But boy, we were in for a rude awakening, weren't we? These graduates, they're about to graduate. Well, maybe, right? They can't without that article. The mamas and daddies, as much as we love them and we're proud of them, have they learned everything? No. We graduated college. Have we learned everything? Chris is a doctor. Have you still learned everything? Is there still more things to learn, brother? I mean, that's pretty high up right there. That's a lot of education. But he's saying, I still have more to learn. Master's degrees, PhDs, all these things. We never learn everything. Learning is never done. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. The word righteous, you know what it means? It means it's always true, always right, never wrong. Always true, always right, never wrong. You know what I can learn from the Bible? I can learn to have a good marriage. Learn to be a good husband. Ladies can learn to be a good wife. Learn to be good parents. Learn to raise wise children. Learn to choose good friends. Learn how to be a good friend. Learn how to handle my enemies. Learn how to deal with conflict. Learn how to manage money. Learn how to deal with the storms of life. They worked 2,000 years ago. They will work today, and they will work 2,000 years from now. The words we learn from God will teach us how to live and how we should die. Look at verse 23, Psalm 33, Psalm 119. He said, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. The end here he's talking about is the end of life. What better way to live? What better way to die than learning from the truth of God's Word? We must look to the Bible. We must learn from the Bible. But that is still not enough. We look, we learn, so that we can live out the Bible. We must put the words of God into practice. We cannot do that if we haven't first looked and we haven't secondly learned. Verse 9, Psalm 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. One version puts it this way. By living according to your word. I want my children to live a pure life. I want your children to live a pure life. I want me to live a pure life. I want you to live a pure life. How do we do that? By living out the Word of God. We can look. We can learn. But it will never change us if we don't live it. That book, the Bible, the Word of God, whether it's in digital form, whether it's in physical form, that book, the Bible, is alive. It's not a dead book. It is a living book. It is the living Word. And the Word is living means that we need to be living it out in our lives. James 1, verse 22 says, he said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we just look, if we just listen, if we just learn, we're deceiving ourselves. James said, we must do. We must live it. There are some people, maybe some of us, to claim to love the promises of the Bible. Oh, I love what God promised in the Bible. We love to enjoy the blessings of the Bible. We're all blessed people. We love to talk about the peace that God promises in the Bible. But there are some that do not want to obey what God said to do in the Bible. The Bible becomes power to us when we plug in and live off of that power. In closing, I want you to think about some things. What will have the final say in your life? Who is going to be the one that calls the shot when it's all on the line? Let me tell you something scary. Dr. Bart Ehrman. He grew up in Lawrence, Kansas. He attended Lawrence High School, where he was on the state champion debate team in 1973. He began studying the Bible. He began studying biblical theology, biblical languages at Moody Bible Institute, where he learned the school's three-year, where he earned the school's three-year diploma in 1976. He is a 1978 graduate of Wheaton College in Illinois, where he received his bachelor's degree. He received his Ph.D. in 1985 and Master of Divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary, where he studied textual criticism of the Bible. Today, he is an agnostic atheist American New Testament scholar, focusing on textual criticism of the New Testament, the historical Jesus, and the origins and development of early Christianity. He has written and edited 30 books, including three college textbooks. He has also authored 6 New York Times bestsellers. He is the James A. Gray Distinguished Professor of Religious Studies at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He is so dynamic, Dr. Ehrman is, that it is very hard to get into his classes at UNC. In fact, if you want to take his religious studies classes, you must get up and register early. They cap it at around 300 students. In one of his books, here is an excerpt. He writes, "The first day of class, with over 300 students present, I ask, how many of you would agree with the proposition that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Whoosh! Virtually everyone in the auditorium raises their hand. I then ask, how many of you have one of the Harry Potter books? Whoosh! The whole auditorium. Then I ask, and how many of you have read the entire Bible? Scattered hands. A few students here and a few students there. I always laugh and say, okay, I'm not saying that I think God wrote the Bible. You are telling me that you think God wrote the Bible. I can see why you might want to read a book by J.K. Rowling. But if God wrote a book, wouldn't you want to see what He has to say?" Coming from a man who is an agnostic atheist, head of religious studies, the University of North Carolina, but man, that's a lot of truth in that last statement. I'm not criticizing the Harry Potter books. I'm not criticizing you having a book club and all that stuff. But if we get that fascinated by our favorite author, if we believe that God is the inspired writer of the Bible, why wouldn't we be in it every day? Can I ask you this? Is there ever a day in your life? Can you ever justify a day in your life that you don't need to hear from God? You can justify a lot of days you don't need to hear from me. But can you ever justify a day you don't want to hear God? If we're honest, there are a lot of days go by that subconsciously we're justifying that. Today, let's turn over a new leaf. Today, let's change. I don't care. I am just a stubborn guy at times. I don't care if every other religious, Christianity-based church institution has statistics that say only a few people read the Bible. Let's change the curve at Azalea City Church of Christ. What would it do if today you went home and you put down Harry Potter or whatever it is and you spent 20 minutes in the Word of God, and tomorrow you did the same thing and the next day, and we made a commitment to it for one solid year, what would it do for you? What would it do for your family? What would it do for this church? Today it's time to refuel. Maybe you want to start with Psalm 119, all 176 verses of it. But it is time to quit being lazy. It's time to quit making excuses. It's time to open the book. There is no excuse, more hands, more homes, than the existence of the world. Today, let's start to look. Let's start to learn. Let's start to live. If we do not, we will die spiritually. I want to live. The Bible says, choose life. Today, what's your choice? Do you want to live spiritually? If you have not yet been baptized into Jesus Christ, you can make that decision today. And we will be more than happy to not only help you with that, but celebrate with you. Maybe you're here today and you've done something publicly that you need to come forward. Maybe you need prayers. Maybe you need help. Maybe you just want to say, hey, I'm coming forward to let you know I'm going to start reading every day. Whatever it is, if you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.